Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, current California transplant, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and role-emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. Be inspired as you listen to these up-close conversations and be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening, friends. Today, I am super excited to introduce you to our guest of honor, Mary Osborne. Mary is an uncommon OT who specializes in dementia care. She's been an occupational therapist and a certified positive care approach consultant for 10 years in Austin, Texas. She founded her consulting company, Your Dementia Therapist, which focuses on helping family members and caregivers better care for their loved one who is living with dementia. She teaches family members and caregivers effective approaches on how to address difficult behaviors and provide personalized activity recommendations. So without further ado, I'd like to present to you Mary Osborne. Hello, Mary.
Hey, Patricia. Thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. I'm super thrilled to have you to talk a little bit about your specialty. But before we delve into all of that, as usual, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes. So my name's Mary. I'm an occupational therapist here in Austin, Texas. And I launched my OT consulting company in October of last year. And my consulting company is called Your Dementia Therapist. And like you said, I specialize in helping family members and caregivers who are taking care of a loved one who has dementia. Because what I found over the years of working directly with those who are living with dementia, there really just is not enough emphasis and support for the caregivers and family members who are taking care of a loved one who has dementia. So yeah, so that's pretty much what led me into creating this consulting company to really focus in and help those caregivers and family members.
Fantastic. Such a need. Is this where you have you always worked in dementia care prior to starting your own company?
Yeah. So I've worked in a variety of different settings. So over these past 10 years, we've lived in like four different states. I've worked in assisted living, memory care, long-term care, home health. And I've always, my favorite settings have always been long-term care and memory care. And I've always just been so passionate about those, working with those who are living with dementia. And I really have seen how much change we can bring about as occupational therapists in this setting when we just focus on the person living with dementia's abilities and what they can do at their current level of dementia. So yeah, so I've just always been so passionate about this work. And yes, that's what led me to creating this consulting company.
Oh, fantastic. So thanks so much for sharing a little bit about that. Was there any particular reason that you wanted to contribute to this podcast?
Yes. So I love your series and I love seeing what other occupational therapists are doing. And it's just really inspiring to see people stepping out of their comfort zones and our traditional roles as OTs to really serve the world in a more creative way.
So thanks for sharing your story with us, because I think that's going to inspire a lot of OT practitioners or future OT practitioners out there. Can you describe to us a little bit more about the uncommon OT work that you do, sort of the population that you serve, some of the needs that you're addressing, right? Because you're working with the caregivers of those living with dementia, not necessarily with the individuals living with dementia. I mean, I know that they're a unit.
Yes.
They're all part of the team, right?
Yes, for sure. So yeah, so I have so my consulting company includes telehealth visits with the caregiver, family member, and then in-person consulting to do, some home visits with the caregivers and family members to further assess their concerns. So So yeah, I really just work on teaching family members and caregivers just different approaches, how to address difficult behaviors, provide those personalized activity recommendations. What I'm finding a lot is that caregivers and family members, you know, they get that diagnosis of dementia, their loved one gets that diagnosis, and they're like, where do I go from here? Like, what do? I really don't even know, you know, what I can be doing at this stage that they're in, whether it's that mild stage or moderate stage. So I really kind of help guide them through the process and then just kind of customize my approach based on the caregiver's concerns.
It sounds like such a valuable and much needed service.
Yes,
I want to talk a little bit more about the details of that a little bit later on.
For sure.
I'm going to have you kind of describe to us what a typical session is like. But before we get into those details, I want to kind of focus a little bit more on your path, right? So, you know, here you are, went to OT school, decided, wow, this is, you know, these are the populations that I feel passion working for, right? I'm going to set up a business now.
Yeah.
can you fill in the blanks? How did that happen for our listeners and myself, right? Because this is part of what we're trying to illustrate here is, you know, how does one get from here to there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, you know, over these years, like I said, I've worked in so many different settings and I've always just been very passionate about memory care and long-term care. And I'll never forget one of the first places that I worked as an OT was in this skilled nursing facility in North Carolina. And I worked with this occupational therapist and she just taught me all about dementia care, the importance of quality of life, implementing the type of therapy that would really make a difference to those living with dementia. And then when I saw the importance of what I could do and the change that I could bring about when I really just focus on the person living with dementia's abilities, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So really it was honestly after working with this therapist early in my career, really just changed the way that I approach my job as an OT over these past years and how I cared for those living with dementia. And ever since then, you know, I've worked in different facilities and different settings and I've trained staff members and family members and provided them with just the tools and strategies that I was implementing that I've learned over these years that they could use to better care for their loved ones who are living with dementia. And so I was like, well, how can I combine my passion for educating caregivers for helping those living with dementia? And I played around with the different things that I could do for so long. I'm like, well, how can I really combine all of this and make it into a company? And yeah, so that's what led me to creating the consulting company, because I really, you know, over the years, like I said, I would spend a lot of my time outside of the treatment sessions of working directly with those living with dementia, calling the power of attorney or the family member that was in charge and just educating them on things that they could be doing or, you know, what the person's current abilities were. And, you know, and they were just so thankful, like, hey, no one's ever really done this. So it was just really cool to see that this was actually helping family members and caregivers. So yeah, so that's what led me to just creating my own company, putting this all together, creating this consulting company where I can really just focus on teaching those family members and caregivers these effective approaches and how to address difficult behaviors or really just any concerns they have related to their loved one's care.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, something that you were doing already, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you had to, you know, take a course for. You're already doing this. So it's just creating a business structure around it to be able to offer it as a service, right? So that's fantastic. Can we segue into that now, what the service looks like? Like what a typical day might look like for you? Because I know that you mentioned to me that are you still doing work other than your consulting work?
Yeah, so I do still have a PRN job here where I work at a skilled nursing facility. It's about once or twice a month. That way, you know, because I do miss treating patients directly. So that way I can kind of get that part of my work in. And it's really fun. I really love doing that. So yeah, so I still do that on the side. But most of my time is really spent trying to, you know, create this company and networking with other healthcare providers, just trying to get the word out there about my service and what I can do to help.
So how are you networking? How are you getting the word out there? Because that might, answer our, I always ask the question, of, sort of like, where do you generate or where do you get your referrals?
Yes, so there are some Facebook groups here in Austin that I found, and there's a bunch of different healthcare professionals in those groups, and they put on different network events at different places. So I've been going to a lot of those, and just really kind of working with different home care agencies, just telling them about my services, how I can complement their services. I found a neurologist here in town who specializes in dementia care, and together, we've actually created a resource guide for dementia caregivers for this area, and it's going to be really great. It contains a bunch of different categories that we found that caregivers and family members were asking us over the years, whether that's, what's a great long-term care option or memory care, what's transportation options, just all the different categories that people were asking us. We're putting this into a resource guide book and creating a website to further help the caregivers. So yeah, so it's just kind of
Love
like
it.
just putting yourself out there, messaging different healthcare professionals and really just attending these events and just hoping that, people kind of see the vision of your company and they're like, wow, you can really help the people that I'm servicing. So it's been really cool
Yes.
to see that overlap.
I mean, it sounds like you are already, particularly in this creating, the creation of the resource guide. That's,
Yes.
it's so, it sounds like it's very kind of community specific too, right?
Yes.
So it's resources within that region that's going to serve these different needs. So, oh, that's so great. I mean, I can imagine that already being replicated in a variety of regions all throughout
Yeah,
Texas.
we're trying to get it to definitely more cities after we kind of, get this one established here. We definitely want to
Yeah.
branch it out.
Yay, how exciting. All
Yeah.
right. So, before I start getting lost,
I know,
or
sorry, I think
just
I went a little bit off
start
topic
getting
there.
off tangent. No, it's me. It's not you. It's always me. So we were talking a little bit about, kind of a typical day for
Oh,
you.
yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so typical day. So I offer telehealth services to the family member or caregiver, and then I also do home visits. So what I've actually restructured my program. So what I'm doing now is I'm offering like a virtual session with the family member or caregiver. It's like a 45-minute telehealth session for week one, and then week two will be a 15-minute phone call follow-up. So I can just kind of see how things are going. How are they doing with implementing my recommendations and suggestions? And then I have a package deal where I do the telehealth visit week one, then a home visit week two, and then 15-minute phone call follow-ups week three and four. And with my telehealth visit, so to kind of get back to your question, so basically when someone signs on with me, I send an intake form to the family member or caregiver. They fill out the intake form, and the intake form asks them a variety of questions about their concerns, about what their loved one likes to do, just some questions about obviously their concerns as the caregiver, family member, and then and then also ask some questions about the person living with dementia. So then after they fill out the intake form, that's whenever we schedule the telehealth session. And what I do on the telehealth session is really dive deep into an area of concern of the family member or caregiver. So whatever it is that they are struggling with, that they need more assistance with, we really, really go, we dive in deep into that topic and explore, what they want to talk about, what their area of concern
Yes.
is, so I can further help them. And most oftentimes I find it's a combination of, how can I help myself in this process? Like I'm feeling very overwhelmed taking care of my loved one who's living with dementia, but I also want the tips, tools, and strategies needed to better care for my loved one. So, let's talk about both of those things. So then I'm giving them strategies that they can implement for themselves to decrease that stress level, but also to better help their loved one at the at different concerns that they are finding related to their loved one's care.
Got
So,
it.
sorry, I know
No, I'm taking notes. because I, you know, it's a lot and I need to take notes. But I just kept on hearing OT, OT, OT there, you know, just in terms of you, you having the OT lens is really beneficial in this.
Situation. I know it is. I was actually just telling my husband that the other day. I was like, it's so crazy. It's so cool what I can do as like apply my OT skills to this area. So an example, actually, I met with a client the other week and, you know, one of the things she was just overwhelmed and stressed about all the things she had to do. So I was like, okay, let's make a list of everything that you have to do. And from that list, let's prioritize, you know, let's offload one of those things from the list that you can have somebody else do to decrease some of that stress. And I feel like these are just things that we also do in OT as well.
Yes. So. They're kind of standard suggestions, right? Yes. And also, you know, it makes sense and it really does offer relief, right? And,
for me,
the one value of using that approach is again, the person feels supported right after the session. And they've literally gotten one thing off of their to-do list, right?
Yes.
And that just really validates all of the things that you talked about during this session. So thanks for giving that example.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We were talking about the OT lens and that, you know, being really useful in terms of recognizing where the needs lay, right? Also for the family members, because they also have a variety of needs.
For sure.
You also mentioned an intake form. So you have sort of like your assessment, right? And that's where you gather all of your preliminary information. And then you talked about an area of concern. So this is what your goal is, right? And you mentioned their main area of concern. So I'm guessing that when they come to you, there is a concern, right? They're not just going to come because like, oh, this person, my family member has dementia. There's something going on.
Yes, for sure. Right?
Can you give us an example of what that might be? Because I think this is also helpful for our listeners, our OT listeners, right? Because it brings it to a functional level. Like what's going on for this family? And on another side of the coin, it's also how do you market the service, right? You market the service by talking about a problem that you're addressing for this population. So just kind of want to talk about that for a moment.
Yes, for sure. So like an example of an area of concern, you know, how my husband keeps repeating things over and over. So it's me having to do a lot of education on the brain changes that are happening and, you know, explaining to the caregiver that these brain changes are happening to the individual and these brain changes are something outside of our control. So at that point, we really need to take into consideration our approach. So I had a client recently who, you know, one of her concerns was that her husband just is repeating himself all the time. And it really just starts first with that education to the family member, explaining about the brain changes that are happening in this individual. And these brain changes are unfortunately something that is outside of their control. It's outside of our control. So something that we can control as family members and caregivers is our approach when the situation occurs. So it's doing a lot of education on how to really respond to this when this is happening and not be reactive, right? Because, you know, for some family members, of course, this could be frustrating, you know, when their family members asking the same thing over and over again. So really it's just providing that education to them about the brain changes that are happening and then trying to figure out kind of what we can do to help with that. So an example of the situation, something that I helped someone with recently was, you know, this person was asking, you know, when is my doctor's appointment? And it would be a question that they repeated all the time. So something that we did was something that I suggested was that on top of his paper that he has a little thing, checklist for the day of different activities. So on the top of that paper, it would say today's date, today is so-and-so, today is whatever today's date is. And then it would say, my doctor is blah, blah, blah. My next appointment is. And so whenever he would ask that question, she would say, well, why don't you check your paper? So then he could check the paper, he could scan, see the paper, and then he could repeat it out loud. So then that was a strategy to help them.
Got it. Okay. So this paper could really be anywhere too, right? Because I'm recalling a moment with a family member, a grand uncle many, many years ago, who just repeatedly asked us if we ate. Have you eaten? Right? And it was just like the most caring question. I thought how great that would have been to maybe have some kind of visual, right? So in this case, you're basically redirecting their attention.
For sure. Yes.
Got it. Would you have any suggestions for someone, just quick suggestions since we're on the topic, for someone who might be agitated? I think that's a common situation that you might experience with someone who's experiencing dementia.
Yeah. So I always tell family members, you know, we have to dive deep into that area of concern. So what is causing the agitation? You know, what? So during the consulting sessions, this is where I dive deep into the subject and I figure out, okay, when is this happening? When is this agitation happening? Do you find it's happening all the time? Or is it just sometimes? Is it during a particular situation that you're finding that this is happening? What is causing this agitation? So then we can further explore and find out some strategies that would work well for that person.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So thank you for giving us those examples. I think super helpful. So you mentioned that your sessions are generally 45 minutes, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And anything else about the sessions that you want to mention to our listeners?
So what I'm finding is a lot of people are asking, you know, what can I do for this or how can I address this? But really, before we do that, we need to figure out the why. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening in order to get to the what or the how? So that's my whole process as a consultant, is really trying to figure out and trying to further dive into these areas with the family member to figure out what I can suggest that would really help them with their specific situation.
So again, I'm hearing OT, 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 because, you know, it requires that kind of lens, right? And that kind of perspective. Really kind of
little detective.
Yes. And knowing, you know, you have to ask 500,000 questions.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And really understand how to ask the follow-up questions, like after the preliminary ones. And then also, you know, really knowing kind of how to then knowing those answers first before diving in, because you need that. You know, you need that assessment period and really looking at the big picture, right? And then diving in and then doing the work. So, very nice. Can we segue into money matters, like in terms of how do you charge? Do you accept insurance?
Stuff like that. For sure. So all of my stuff is cash pay, and my package for like the 1 month of services where I do the telehealth call, the home visit, and the 2 15-minute phone call follow-ups is $439. And then the one virtual session with the family member or caregiver, and then the week two 15-minute follow-up phone call is $179.
Okay.
And then I do monthly package deals based on what that client will need for the upcoming months. And then I just put something together based on what would fit them.
Okay. So those are basically the starters, right?
Yeah.
And then you kind of decide what they need afterwards. Do you find that that one virtual session and that follow-up is enough? Or do you find that folks usually kind of sign up after?
Yeah, I would say, so like I tell everybody, you know, there's only going to be so much I can help you with in one session. So it's kind of like if you go to a personal trainer, you're not going to just go once and then everything's going to be better, you know?
Yes.
It really just takes that follow-up. It takes, and that's why I've kind of restructured things, as initially I was just doing the one call and I was like, well, the follow-up phone calls will hold the caregivers and family members accountable to the suggestions that I'm making and really see how it's working. What's not working? Can we revisit this? So yeah, so I do find that the clients that I have that are on the monthly packages, they do better because they follow through with the suggestions that I have. And then it helps everyone's situation, right?
So. Yes. And, you know, I guess there's also that reinforcement. There's that repetition.
There's that structure. There's someone holding them accountable to everything. So.
So good. Thanks for giving us that info. And all cash pay, because insurance does not cover for services for the caregivers, right?
Yes.
Any highs or lows, any recent challenges or successes that you'd like to share with us?
I would say, you know, owning your own company, you know, this, it's like a bunch of highs and lows. And I would say, like, I've been spending more time trying to just appreciate the small wins. So like when I sign on a client or just networking with different healthcare providers who have similar visions and networking with a neurologist to create this resource guide. So yeah, I would consider just these small things wins. And I would say like the lows would be just creating the brand awareness in general, because a lot of people, you know, when they hear occupational therapists, they're so used to an OT working directly with their loved one. And I'm, you know, trying a different approach where my company is focused on the family member or caregiver, which is just different than what people are used to. So yeah. So that being said, I would say, like, you know, the highs are, I'm just trying to celebrate the small wins, and the lows, just creating that brand awareness in general. Yes. And that this type of service exists.
Is there something different in the way, I mean, it's already challenging enough to most folks explaining OT, right? To the average Joe out there. Is there anything in particular that you say or anything different that you say to kind of create awareness towards your
brand?
Yeah.
So whenever I am educating family members and caregivers, I tell them about how my company is focused on them to address their concerns, to better help them, so then they can have the tools, tips, and resources to better care for their loved one. So I kind of phrase it like, you know, it's a win-win for everybody involved.
Yes, it sure is. And especially if you're someone who really has that need, right? I mean,
yes,
I'm sure you see like lights or eyes lighting up and just, you know, like, what? Are you really offering this service?
So
I love that you've tapped into this group just because they're there. I mean, I've worked with this population, just, you know, a very small percentage in my OT career. I've worked with folks who've had, you know, cognitive issues on a variety of levels, but not solely, right? And I can already see the value of what you're doing, just because our family members are severely impacted, and their lives and ADLs are, you know, also are compromised as a result of, you know, having to take on these roles.
Exactly.
So I love that you've really bridged your passion, right? This is the population that you love serving.
Yeah.
And have sort of creatively developed a business model around it. And I'm just so impressed by all of that. So with regards to that, do you have any career advice for any of our listeners who are interested in following your path?
Yeah, I would say just start. I feel like that's really just the first step, you know, write down the things that you want to do, what you can do to get there, and then just go from there. And I also think it's a complete mindset thing. So if you believe in your mission and do whatever it takes to get you from point A to B, then even if it takes you a while to get there, then just start. You know, imagine where you'd be like 5 years from now if you just started today. So I also do a lifestyle blog. I don't know if I talked about that in the beginning. I don't think I did, but I started that like 7 years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like if I wouldn't have started that like back in the day, it's just so cool to see the progress, like working with brands I had never even imagined I'd work with. So it's just really cool to see what happens when you put your heart and passion into what you do.
Yeah. And start, right?
So
was there anything that, I don't know, lit that light under you? Was there anything that pushed you to get started? I knew you were working in, you know, skilled nursing facilities, et cetera. But was it that kind of sparked it for you to just start?
So actually, this is funny. I didn't even talk about this, but my husband launched his own anesthesia company last year. And it's just been so inspiring to watch him and see what he does and how he's created this company with his passion. And he was like, Mary, you've always been so passionate about dementia care. Like, figure out like what you can do to further address this population and how you can serve others in a bigger way. So yeah, so that's
so he
been very
planted the
exciting.
seed.
Yeah, he planted the seed because I was like, I don't know if I want to open up another business because, you know, I had the lifestyle blog, which I've kind of taken a break from that to go full in on this, but because it's a lot of work to get a company started. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this again, but I'm just so passionate about this work and I will do whatever it takes to kind of, you know, change the world of dementia care. That's my goal.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it sounds like you're already on your way there and you're already doing that. In fact, you know, again, that resource guide is a great start. You networking, you putting yourself out there, letting people know that this service exists. You're already making a difference in the world of, in the dementia caregiver world.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So advice, get started, just do it. Are there any common myths or misconceptions that you'd like to demystify related to the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I would say like a common myth is just that we as OTs have to work our 9 to 5, which, you know, we don't have to do that. We think outside the box and come up with something that we love to do related to the work that we're doing. So I've just always been one to want more and do more, which I guess has just led me to where I am today. So yeah, so.
And the flexibility really, right? Of,
yeah.
Of where we can work, the types of things that we can do, how often we could do it. I mean, you're doing PR
exactly.
and stuff 1 to 2 days a month, right?
Like yeah.
And that's just to fill your cup because it's something that, you know, and I'm sure that adds to your current work, right? Like you're.
Yes, for sure.
It just adds that other dimension. So I myself, I'm a fan of that type of flexibility. I always like being in
Same.
Different settings
Me
and
too.
Working with different groups of people, different teams, right?
Me so, too. Me too.
Yeah. So, you know, I think as OTs, it's also important for us to pay attention to that, right? Because again, that dictates sometimes where we end up working if we feel like, oh, that's the only place. But no.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mary,
so
you're
many other
showing
options.
Us. You can be anywhere. In fact, you're not even working with the patients directly. You're working with their caregiver. So, you know, it can be done is what I'm saying. And thank you so much for.
And it's hard work, but if you're willing to put in the sacrifice involved to get there, then.
Someone just said to me, and I don't recall who it was, but they said that, you know, you went to OT school. You can do this. You went to OT school, you can start an LLC. You went to OT school, you can do, you know, like all of these business related things that are so intimidating for us.
We don't
because,
get that in school.
No, we're not trained.
That, yeah.
No, nobody ever thought or put in my head when I was in OT school that I can potentially start a business one day. I thought maybe I could if I had a pediatric practice, right? I could, you know, open up a sensory gym, which I think half of my cohort did. but I never really thought of, you know, anything in the entrepreneurial sense, at least. So
same.
For sure, we need the training. And, you know, these are the parts that really kind of make us feel uncomfortable about starting businesses. So it can be done. And here you are. Do you have any advice about that? Like, how do you get over that whole, you know, the business imposter side of things?
Oh gosh, I feel like whenever you first start, that's just going to happen. Like, you're going to be like, you're going to have that imposter syndrome, you know?
Yeah. So kind of understand that it's there, right?
Yes, for sure.
It's going to happen.
And just at the end of the day, believing in yourself that you have the knowledge, you have the experience, you can do this, you know, just you constantly have to be your own hype person in this work, right?
Yeah, that's great advice. Like not allowing those
negative
thoughts to bring you down. Yeah. Like whoosh, swooshing them away. And really not like sulking in them because I mean, your thoughts become your reality. So it's really important to stay positive and to stay motivated, right? And to kind of keep up with that momentum.
Yes.
So, again, thanks so much for sharing with us, your path, your journey, telling us about your business model, your structure today. If anybody wanted to follow you, can they do so, and how do they do so?
Yeah, so they can always go to my website, yourdementiatherapist.com. My Instagram and Facebook and TikTok are all the same, Your Dementia Therapist. And then if they want to email me, it's mary@yourdementiatherapist.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're going to also include your resource guide and other resources that you'd mentioned during our conversation with our show notes, along with your
Perfect.
website information and all of that stuff.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for taking the time to be with us again, for sharing your journey, inspiring OT practitioners or future OT practitioners out there. I would really love to have you back on to talk about your next chapters and, the
Yes.
next chapter of your business, and particularly expanding, your network there in Texas and helping caregivers out there.
Yes, for sure. We'll definitely have to do another interview. I have some fun stuff planned. So,
Can't wait to
some
hear
good things in
about it.
the works.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.